الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. As part of our daily routine, we have built into our mindset that we make certain assumptions. And those assumptions actually are based on habit and based on what we expect will occur. So for example, this is the month of May. So in the month of May, we make an assumption that the weather is supposed to become warm. Right? In the month of May, we make an assumption that it's going to rain during this month because that's part of spring changing into summer. During the month of May, we make an assumption that towards the end of the month, it becomes obviously much warmer than it is in the beginning of the month. So every year, we make this assumption. Similarly, we make an assumption every day. Right? When we go to bed at night, we make an assumption that the next day is going to come. We make an assumption that the sun is going to rise the next morning. When we lie down, when we go to bed, we make an assumption that we're going to get up. Right? When we wake up in the morning, we make an assumption that we're going to have three meals. We assume, from habit, that, okay, today I have to have breakfast at 8, I have to have lunch at 1, and I have to have dinner at 7, and that's an assumption. So part of our being human beings is that we are always making assumptions. We're always assuming things will occur. We expect them to occur. Now that's the nature of a human being. And what Islam teaches us, and what the Prophet ﷺ highlighted for us so beautifully, is that although we make these assumptions, actually they should not really be assumptions. Each of these things should actually be attributed to an agent, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, we don't just say that in May it becomes warm, or in the beginning of May it rains, or in August it becomes hot. We don't say that, but we recognize that actually, while we make these statements, but we don't attribute them to the fact that they're supposed to occur, we attribute them to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended them to occur. So we look at the universe very differently. When we go to bed, we don't expect to wake up, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wakes us up. When we wake up in the morning, we don't expect to eat, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us. Whenever we do anything, the assumption is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will permit it. Even to the extent of the five daily prayers. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is no tawfiq. Right? There is no ability to do anything except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. So for us, every single movement, every single breath, every single action, every single thing that other human beings assume, they are actually all reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you analyze the sunnah, you'll actually find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted this for us in so many different ways. And I'll just very shortly give you a few examples. I mean, just take, for example, getting up in the morning. Right, one simple daily activity that we assume will occur every single day. Right, we assume that we're going to go to sleep and that the next day we're going to wake up. And we set our alarms and we say, okay, I'm setting my alarm for 7 o'clock, so I should wake up at 7 o'clock. Or I set my alarm for 5 o'clock, I should wake up at 5 o'clock. That's an assumption that we make when we go to bed and we expect it to occur. But actually, if you look at the du'as that the Prophet ﷺ taught for the morning time, there are certain du'as that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite. Each of them highlights a reminder, or acts as a reminder to recognize that these assumptions should not be assumed except through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, when we wake up in the morning, what dua do we read? Right? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. All praise be to Allah, He who woke us up. Ahyana, actually He gave us life. Ba'dama amatana, after causing us to die. Wa ilayhi an-nushur. And to Him will be the return. Now listen to the words of this dua. Every morning when we wake up, we've been told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite this dua. And think about the meaning. Actually, it totally attributes the fact that we wake up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahilladhi. All praise, all types of praise, all forms of praise are for He who ahyana, gave us life. Ba'dama amatana, after He caused us to die. Meaning after He put us to sleep. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith that sleep is the sister of death. So here, in this particular hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is highlighting for us that when we wake up in the morning, we're supposed to recite this dua to remind us that we didn't wake up, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually brought us back to life despite the fact that we were at the brink of death. That's what we're supposed to remember. And we're supposed to recognize that we weren't necessarily supposed to wake up except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala woke us up. So, look at that dua. I mean, it's such a powerful dua, such a simple dua, but it totally starts us off on that path from the very get-go. We wake up in the morning, and from the very get-go, we're being taught that we shouldn't assume things occur except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits them to occur. Now, there are many dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite, in the morning in particular. And each of them highlights this principle in a different way. And they're all supposed to be recited at their level as established by the Sunnah in order to inculcate this idea in us in the very beginning of our day so that we can then perpetuate this idea throughout the remainder of the day. Okay? In another hadith, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that when we wake up in the morning, we're supposed to say, or actually not when we wake up in the morning, but after the sun has risen. Right? When the sun is rising, when the entire earth becomes, this part of the earth becomes encompassed by the light of the sun, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say, "Asbahna wa asbaha al-mulku lillahi rabbil alameen." Okay? Asbahna. We entered the morning. Wa asbaha al-mulku. And the whole country entered the morning. Lillahi rabbil alameen. Because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nourisher of the universe, the Rabb of the universe, the Lord of the Master, the sustainer of the universe. So again, once you wake up, you attribute it to Allah. Then you sit and you wait and the sun rises, something that we expected to occur. It was supposed to occur. But here where the Prophet ﷺ teaches us, that when we see the sun rising and we see us entering into the morning, we see the whole area entering into the morning, don't assume it. But attribute it back to whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbil Alameen. Asbahna. We entered the morning. Wa asbaha al-mulk. And actually the whole country enters the morning. Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. Because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you can translate it as, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, we're being reminded. And this is a dua that we're supposed to recite every morning. And in fact, in the evening, it's the same dua with different words. أَمْسَيْنَا وَأَمْسَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That we entered the evening and the whole mulk, the whole region entered the evening because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, we're being reminded as each day turns, as each night enters, as each day enters, that actually all of these changes that are constantly occurring in the universe are not events that randomly occur, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually planned them. Now another thing that we assume in the morning, or that we assume as Muslims, and sometimes we tend to over-assume it, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just be pleased with us. Right? We just assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be pleased with us as if we've given Him something or offered Him something that He couldn't have received without us. But the reality is that we are totally dependent on Him and He is completely independent of us. And so another hadith, or another dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to recite in the morning, is the dua that was actually taught to, a statement that actually Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu made one time in front of the Prophet ﷺ. One time the Prophet ﷺ was with some company, and some of the people around him upset, they made a statement which upset the Prophet ﷺ. Now when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu saw that the Prophet ﷺ was upset, he became very worried. Because he knew that with the anger and the wrath of the Prophet ﷺ was the anger and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ did not become angry except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was something that was displeasing to Allah, and therefore the Prophet ﷺ would represent that displeasure through his anger. Similarly with his happiness. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw the Prophet ﷺ in this state, he recited the following statement: رَضِينَا بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. رَضِينَا بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. We are pleased with Allah as a Lord. We are contented. رَضِينَا. We are pleased or contented with Allah as a Lord. رَضِينَا بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا. And as Islam, for our way of life. وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. And with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as our messenger. So, in this statement, now when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu recited this, the anger of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam cooled down. The anger of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam cooled down when Hazrat Umar recited this. And so, this became a regular routine of the Muslims to recite this dua every morning when they wake up. And every day when the new day, when the night comes in. So after Fajr and after Maghrib, we're supposed to recite this dua. Now this dua actually highlights that it's not granted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. Actually, we do so many things that anyone who recognized the greatness of Allah, or anyone who recognized what they've been given by Allah, they wouldn't have the audacity to do. Sometimes the way we act, sometimes the things we say, sometimes the things we don't do, sometimes the prayers that we offer are all actually a cause of Allah's anger to come upon us. And at any moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy creation. وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةً. If it wasn't for a word, لَقُلِيَ الْأَمَرُ. The whole matter would have been decided, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that He wants to hold back judgment. Otherwise, when we made a mistake, it should have been that the ground swallowed us and said, why should you deserve to walk on the ground of Allah when you've disrespected your Lord? Or when you've not fulfilled what your Lord assigned you? It should have been. That should have been the result. That any time anyone went against the command of Allah, or did not praise Allah the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserved to be praised, it should have been, if everything was fair in that manner, it should have been that the ground should swallow that person immediately. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a muhla. He's created a period. And that period is a time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds back the judgment to give human beings the chance to make istighfar, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take advantage of His infinite mercy, to take advantage of His being a tawwab. So, this is one of the important things to recognize, is that we don't by necessarily default please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's actually His mercy that allows us to please Him, that He accepts what little we have to offer. And so this dua teaches us that we shouldn't by default think that we necessarily have pleased Allah, but we should recognize that there may be some things that we do to displease Allah, and we should recognize that we are content with the matter of our Lord. And this dua actually is a dua by which you cool the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَضِينَا بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. We are pleased with Allah as our Lord. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ. And with Islam as our way of life. وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيَّ. And with the Prophet ﷺ as our messenger. And once we're contented with that, then what else matters? And it's such a broad statement. You wake up in the morning, you don't know what's going to happen. There's so much randomness. Am I going to succeed? Am I going to fail? Am I going to make money? Am I going to lose money? Am I going to be healthy? Am I going to be sick? Am I going to be happy? Am I going to be sad? There are so many questions. Instead of addressing all of those worries, in the morning we're taught to immediately focus on the things that are there for us. like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the fact that we've been blessed with Islam, like the fact that we've been chosen to be in the community of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now a person who immediately wakes up and focuses on these three things, what other problems do they have? What other problem could a human being have? They make these three statements, they cool the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they recognize that no matter what happens in this day, no matter what happens throughout this day, it really doesn't matter. Because the three most important things I have, number one, I have Allah as my Lord. Number two, I have Islam as my way of life. And number three, I have the Prophet ﷺ as my messenger. So now, there's no bad that can happen. And in fact, there is no greater good that can be given. No matter what few dollars we earn in the day, how can it compare to these three things? We've already woken up in wealth. And we close the night in wealth. And so this dua is a great reminder. One, it teaches us in the morning to recognize the benefit that we've been given so much. Two, it cools the anger of the Prophet ﷺ and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And three, it puts us right in an attitude. Right? There's an attitude that you establish when you wake up. We say waking up on the wrong side of the bed. What does it mean? It means the morning started out bad, so the whole day went wrong. Right? Somebody's mad at 6 o'clock at night. You ask them, did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed? What does it mean? It means how you started the morning is how you're ending the day. So how do we start the morning? Pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Lord. Happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord and we have recognized Him through His tawfiq. And pleased that He chose Islam for us. How many ways of life are there out there? How confused could we be? But instead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified our vision and placed us on this deen. And then three, among the people that He placed on the deen, He gave us the opportunity to be among the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What greater gift could there be? So now we've woken up in wealth. There is no question of wealth anymore. Now we've woken up in peace. There's no question of depression anymore. We've woken up in happiness. There's no question of sadness anymore. That's why this dua is very powerful. And it's very important that you begin to recite this. Now some people ask this question. They say, you know, I feel like I wake up in a bad state. Or I feel like I wake up depressed. Or I feel sad in the morning. This is the dua to read. It's a very powerful dua. It removes sadness. It removes that darkness that exists in the heart. It cools any anger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have had. So it's a very, very powerful dua. And then you just continue. I mean, we could go through this all evening. Look at another dua that the Prophet ﷺ recites in the morning when he, or after the Fajr prayer in particular. Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Bismillahi alladhi, in the name of He who, la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i, nothing in the earth or the sky, la yadurru ma'a ismihi, can harm with His name. Nothing in the earth and nothing in the sky can harm with the person who starts the day in it with His name. Bismillahi alladhi, I take the name of He who, la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'. Nothing in the earth or the skies can harm with His name. Right? Wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim, and He is the one who hears and He is the one who knows. So look at the power of this dua. It reminds us of a couple of things. Number one is that the harm that occurs during the day is not random. It's not just that, oh, this person had this happen by accident. It's qudra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes these things. And the way by which we have, the tool which we have to control what afflicts us during the day is this dua. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever recites this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove afflictions from him from that day. And whoever recites it in the evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove afflictions from him that evening. Now, actually what's really interesting is that when I was sitting with my hadith teacher and we came to this hadith, he said, well, obviously the question arises that if you recite this dua, bad things may still happen to you. Right? I mean, if you always remember to recite this dua, then bad things may still happen to you. But he said that the person who has yaqeen in this dua, even bad things don't happen to that person. Quote unquote, bad things don't happen. Now, difficulties arise, but bad things, meaning a difficulty in the deen, doesn't arise. Then he quoted a story from his teacher. And he said his teacher actually had a stroke. His teacher had a stroke. So when they were studying this hadith with their teacher, and the teacher said, Whoever recites this, nothing bad will happen. All the students started looking at him. And they were wondering, like, now this guy is telling us to recite this hadith, right? Our teacher's telling us to recite this hadith, but he himself had a stroke. So he picked up in this particular class that the students were all thinking this. So he stopped. And he said, okay, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that I'm telling you to recite this. I must recite this every day. I wouldn't tell you to recite it. So how can it be that I recited this and I also had a stroke? And then he said, wallahi, I'm sitting in the dars of this dars of a hadith in front of you in the masjid. I'm telling you, wallahi, that I forgot to recite this dua on the day that I had the stroke. So it just goes to show you the power of this dua. In fact, on one occasion, one of the Sahaba was called by one of the people of his locality, and he was told that your house is on fire. He said, there's no way my house can be on fire. They said, no, your house is on fire. I just saw your house on fire. He said, it's impossible. So he said, take me, show me. So they went, and they went to the house, and they saw that it was actually the neighbor's house that was on fire. So they turned to their companion, and they asked, how did you know? How were you so certain? When I'm telling you that I saw your house on fire, how can you be so certain that your house was not on fire? He said, because I recited this dua in the morning. There's no way my house can be on fire. There's no way my house can be on fire, because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites this dua, affliction will be turned away from you. Now again, that doesn't mean that difficulty won't come, because certain difficulties are sent by Allah so that we can have sabr upon those difficulties, so that we can gain closeness to Him. There's two ways by which we gain closeness. One, through our efforts, which are minimal. And two, by Allah testing us so that He can bring us closer to Him. So sometimes a difficulty arises and it's beneficial for us. Those things will always arise. But those difficulties that are bad for us, for example, the difficulties that arise within our deen, right? The tests and trials of kufr that constantly challenges us. These ideas that pop up in the mind, oh well, if all of this was created by Allah, then who must have created Allah? Right? So these kind of things, the games that the mind can play, that Shaitan comes and whispers now, those are the things that we can be protected from, especially by making this dua. But anyway, what it highlights, again, it's something that's read in the morning. And what it highlights is that even the things that we call accidents, right? I got in a car accident. Now that implies that it was random. Even that accident is not random, it's actually intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's written by Allah, it's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very, very important that we recognize that what we consider to be random is actually not random, but it's all caused. And it's caused by whom? By the agent of the universe, who's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single occurrence is a reminder. Now, over the past few weeks we've been talking about levels of dhikr, right? Using the environment as a means of reminding you, using people as a means of reminding you, using our relationships with one another as a means of reminding one another. And so this is also a means of remembrance. And that's to not take the daily things that occur as assumptions. Breakfast is not an assumption, it's a gift. Lunch is not an assumption, we don't deserve lunch. It's a gift. Dinner is not deserved, it's a gift. These are all things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided out of His mercy. We did not do anything to earn breakfast. We tend to think, I worked hard, I earned my paycheck, so now I'm going to take a break. Allah gave the tawfiq for all of that. None of these things are assumptions, they are all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll see that the Prophet ﷺ used to interact with the day in that way. When he would start eating, in the name of Allah. When he would finish eating, thanking Allah. When he would enter a room, exit a room, enter the mosque, exit the mosque. All of these different occurrences were all tied into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not assumed, but they were thanked. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ knew, he was thankful because he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided that opportunity. So that's the next level of wukuf. That's a level of wukuf. We talk about wukuf being one of the essential pillars of progressing spiritually. That's a level of wukuf. And these du'a are essential for wukuf. You memorize these du'a in Arabic, and then you memorize their meaning, and then you reflect on them as you say them, and they become a very, very powerful tool to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day. And in fact, this is one of the interpretations where Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Prophet used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every single moment. At every single moment, some ulama have interpreted every single moment, meaning at every single occasion. Meaning every occasion, where things changed. The Prophet ﷺ, when he would raise to a height, he would say, take the name of Allah. When he would descend from a height, when he would take the name of Allah. When he would mount a ride, he would take the name of Allah. When he would dismount, he would take the name of Allah. When he would enter the house with the name of Allah, leave the house with the name of Allah, greet one another with the name of Allah, separate from one another with the name of Allah, everything was tied into Allah. And then that's what creates an environment of the remembrance of Allah. And then again, the same thing happens, wukuf, you drowned in the remembrance of Allah. The problem doesn't become, I can't remember Allah, the problem becomes, I can't focus on anything but Allah. And then that's, of course, the best problem that can exist. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who don't assume things to occur, but to be among those who recognize that these things occur through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات